Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dave Wannstedt, Bears head coach for 6 years.
The Bears.
The Bears.
Super Bowl champion.
How about them Cowboys? Yeah!
Great mustache.
Some say it's a symptom of manliness. Others a cause. The mustache.
Wani, hanging out with Molly and Hawn.
Open up the door, it's Dave.
Who?
Dave, D-A-V-E.
Dustin, we're not going to waste airtime on that, okay?
Thank you.
Next question.
Thank you.
Next question.
Thank
next
you very
question.
Much.
Dave Wannstedt.
Molly and Hawn, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. It is always a delight to have Coach Wannstedt join us in studio here, and here he is. Dave, good morning. How are you, sir?
Morning, Dave. I am good. You know, I'm the topic is running game. I'm here early. I ran all the way up from my condo.
You are firing out of your stance.
I am. You know what? It's I kind of liked, I don't know, if did any of you guys see Coach Fitz's press conference yesterday at Northwestern? He got up there and he said, you know, all I'm going to tell you, and now obviously they got slaughtered last week.
Speaking of bad offenses.
We know their record, all that stuff. And he says, but this is where I'm at. He says, we're going to restart. And he gave a little scenario about starting a computer up or something. I don't know what he's talking about, but restart. And I think that's where the Bears are at. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, they've got to regroup and everybody's got to, I mean, we got to get the maximum out of our football team. I mean, truly, offense, defense, special teams. I mean, everybody's got to step up. Everybody's got to do their job to the most of their ability, whatever that is. And it's not all about Mitch, guys. And I know where we're at there. I have not given up on Mitch. I'm on the other side of the fence with this. I think you got to do things to help Mitch at this point. And other guys got to step up. Coaches, players, everybody.
Here's the problem. And I totally agree with what you're saying. I think that this is – right now, this is a crucial point of your season because you've lost two games. But what I don't understand, Dave, and what really gives me great pause is, wasn't that last week where you had to step up? Wasn't that coming off the London game, coming off a bad loss to Oakland, coming home, getting time to self-scout, getting time to look at your team, and then you make your statement by the lakefront against one of the NFC leaders? And instead, and again, you know, they're without Breeze. They're without Alvin Kamara.
Right.
The tight end is injured
Cook,
as well.
Cook. Yeah.
I mean, Jared Cook. So you.
Yes. No.
I feel like it's redundant to say now is the time because that was the time and they didn't turn up again.
What are you going to do? I look at it this way. You know what? If we talk negative, we got no chance, right? Because it's going to be negative. So I would approach this thing in a positive way. Let's step up and go get a win now. I mean, that's, you got to have that type of mentality as a coach. You got to have that mentality as a player. I mean, to create the energy and to create the focus in order to go out and do it. I mean, there's a lot of football left. Dallas was 3-5 last year, guys, mm-hmm. and they won 7 of their 8 games and won the division. So I'm definitely looking. I got.
You're sounding like a coach, Dave.
I don't have.
You're sounding like a coach.
I don't have the glass.
It's more than half full.
I've got two glasses.
That's
here,
good. So tell me this, coach.
Go ahead.
So tell me this: when you walk into work tomorrow morning and you gather your team, look from the outside looking in, you got a coach with no conviction for the running game. You got a quarterback with no confidence, and you have an offense with no identity. Where do you start?
Well, you know what? The foundation of this thing, I think, has to be. Your quarterback's going to win and lose games for you down the road. We all established that. But he's not he's not going to do a throw in 54 times. We've also established that.
Yes. Yep.
You know, and the big thing with me, obviously, is the run game. And I don't want to pound on this thing anymore. You guys know how I feel about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you said
you like to pound the rock.
You said on television that you could call 7 running plays in your sleep.
Probably 7 quarterback sneaks in my sleep. But no, and seriously speaking, I'm serious. Now, that's the only thing that really bothered me about that was that It was the because the way they lost to the Raiders wasn't just a loss, a game that they expected to win and probably should have won against, you know, they're a better team. But, you know, when you get the ball run down your throat on defense and you can't run it on offense, you know, that's an embarrassing loss from a coach. That would hurt my pride. It would. I would sit in there and that would make me pull off the road and vomit in the morning. No, I'm serious.
I know.
I've done that. Yeah. Because it upsets me, damn it.
Sure.
You know, and particularly in this town, you might be able to throw seven passes in San Diego, I mean, seven runs, and everybody accepts it, but not in this town. I mean, this is a town where you got to be physical, and the only way to do that is to run the ball, and that sets a mindset with your defense. Nothing excites a defense more to see guys coming off the ball, offensive players, and they're on the sideline, and a running back, you know, bouncing off a tackle. Man, that's the team thing, you know, and they got to get that going. They got a back that can do that. We David Montgomery did it against the best competition. I mean, against the Oklahomas and the Texas. He did it for 3 years right. in a row. I mean, the guy is.
And they moved up to get him in the draft.
He's got to get an opportunity. You know, he's got to get an opportunity to do it.
Why are you still on board with Mitchell Trubisky? There's a lot of people
because I was in Pittsburgh when it was Terry Bradshaw's fifth year.
Yeah.
Okay. Before they benched him, they brought him back. It was a mess. And it was his fifth year when Terry really lit it up. Troy Aikman, I was with Troy from the get-go, okay? It was horrible the first year as far as his performance and obviously our team. And Troy and I were texting during the Bears game. And you heard his comments, you know? I mean, he felt the same way.
They're honest.
Yeah, they were very yes. honest, and he talked about the identity. Troy knows, hey, take some damn pressure off of me and let's give the ball to Emmett. Let's, you know, and, sure. I remember Jimmy Johnson going in there our second year. We didn't have a tailback. We had Darryl Johnson, and he says, I don't care if we got to give, I forget what Emmett was, something was, and he says, if we got to give it to Darryl Johnson 35 times, do that, but I do not want to see Troy Aikman get sacked and us go backwards and us force throws and throw interceptions, run the football. And, you know, and it's got to come from the head coach.
Well, it's got to come from the head coach who's also the offensive coordinator and play caller. So when you evaluate that part of it, Dave, and you talk about taking away play calling responsibilities from Matt Nagy, is that a good idea? And how delicate of a situation would that be at Hallis Hall if that comes up for discussion?
Well, I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, you know, but as a head coach, I think you do what you got to do to win games. And Matt's a smart enough guy. I mean, he gets it. Mark Helfrich, I know very well from his days at Oregon. I mean, I think they got a good working relationship. I know Harry Hiestad, the offensive line, would just soon come out and hit you in the mouth. I know that for a fact. So, I mean, I don't think it's that big of a deal. It is maybe to the media, to us, talking about it. But inside, you know, behind closed doors, you know, who's calling the plays? I mean, who knows, right?
I mean, yeah, and I mean, to clarify, I don't think anybody is sitting here and saying, you know, run, pound the ball, just run the ball. Balance. We're talking about balance. We're talking about keeping a defense, giving them things to stop.
And you know, number of times, too, that a back gets the ball. I'm going back to Emmett Smith days in our first Super Bowl, and I had Ricky Williams. I had LeSean McCoy. I mean, I was around some great backs, Hall of Fame backs. And I remember we were standing in the tunnel at halftime. And I think, I don't know, Emmett had 10 carries or something the first half, and North Turner said, boy, I don't know, Coach, you know, about running the ball here the second half. You know, it was a close game at the halftime, and Jimmy said, what do you mean run the ball? He says, give the ball to Emmett. He says, his numbers will be double in the fourth quarter what they are now, and that's what happened. So, I mean, you got to be committed to it. You got to stay with it. And Bill Parcells said, I'm referencing a lot of things here, but I'm just trying to make a point. Parcells won Super Bowl, whatever it was. Otis Anderson was his running back. And after the game, Otis Anderson averaged 2.1 yards a carry. And the reason I know, I was the defense coordinator of the Cowboys at the time, and we were defending him. So I was following it close. And Bill said, you know what, it's not the number of yards we get. It's a number of times we hand it off to him, and it helps our defense. It helps our field position. We're not getting negative plays. It sets up our play-action pass, you know, on and on and on and on. I mean, you got to get you got to really buy into the whole package, I guess, rather than just saying.
So if you're a coordinator and your team is on the field for 37 minutes and 26 seconds after the game before 35 minutes, how can you combat that if you're not running the ball? If you're not doing something to, you know, the Bears have a great defense. We just haven't seen it for 2 weeks.
Yeah. And, you know, it get into a little bit of psychological part here, too. And Chucky knows this because Chucky Pagano and I work together, as you guys know. And we used to do something, okay, at certain points of the practice when the guys were real tired in training camp, okay, as an example, we would just scream out sudden change. And I did this all the way through my head coaching days at the Dolphins, at the Bears. And the hope, and then the defense had to go back out on the field. I mean, this is a big part. And I made this point yesterday on the show. To play great defense, guys, you got to do two things. Know what to do and give fanatical effort. By fanatical effort, we talk about it all the time. You got to be, I mean, every fiber in your body's got to be twitching when that ball snapped. Seriously. I mean, that's how your mindset's got to be to get there and be and play at the top level. Now, with that being said, if you're running onto the field and your first possession, you get a punt blocked, right?
Yeah.
The second possession, you hand the ball to a wide receiver and he fumbles. And you're jogging onto the field to play defense, 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 right? Everyone's screaming. And your mindset is, oh, boy, you know, this is going to be a long day. Or I can't believe this happened again. Or what? Yep. You know what I mean? Any type of doubt.
Yep. You can't
all of a sudden, guys, you're playing defense, but you don't have that killer edge that you need to have, and bad things happen to you. So, you know, you got to make sure that that doesn't happen. And I am not saying that that had any effect on it, but I have been on teams where it has. Okay. So I'm just making the point that there's a head coach. I call it friendly fire. You got to be damn careful that doesn't creep in, and because you may not, and unless you got your ear and you are in that locker room and you are in tune, you don't even know what's happening.
Regarding Trubisky, when you look at Matt Nagy saying yesterday, everything is related to bad footwork. Mm-hmm. Dave, he's started more than 30 games in the NFL at this point. He's in his third season as a starter. Is that a legitimate reason or rationale? And at this point in time, if he does still have sloppy footwork, can a guy who's had that kind of experience in the league change it, improve, get better at that aspect of the game fundamentally?
I kind of always thought, and you know, I'm by far not a, I don't know anything about quarterbacks like Matt Nagy does, you know, Mark Helfrich. I mean, they are quarterback guys. But I always thought the one thing that over time that usually didn't change much is accuracy. You know, when I would look at a quarterback, evaluate one, draft one, recruit one, how accurate is the guy? If he's accurate, okay, that's a good thing. You can change. I think you can improve footwork. I think you can improve arm strength. All those things you can improve. If he's a smart guy and works hard like Mitch is, you can improve his decision making. I really believe that. The accuracy thing is something I thought that, you know, some
you can't improve
how much, maybe a little bit, maybe in a play call, and you can give him some easier throws. But that's difficult to do.
Yeah, that's a big issue. 312-644-6767 is the number. We've got Coach Wanstead for another segment. We're going to talk more about where the Bears are at in this early season. And I like what you're saying, Dave, too, about the defensive mindset you have to have. And I want to ask you if you have seen I don't know, a defense that's on the field too long, get mad at the offense. Any sort of cracks in the armor that appear when one side of the ball is letting down the other side of the ball. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score.
Dave Wanstead, hanging out with Mully and Haw.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score. We are delighted to have Coach Wanstead here in studio. And Dave, I asked you before the break about, I used to work with Doug Buffone, and Doug was telling me a story about how they had a really good defense and a terrible offense. So they got off the plane and they went back to the facility, and they were going to have to practice because they were so embarrassed about what had happened. and the offense or the defense went out and they all lined up at different offensive positions and said, you know, why don't we just go both ways? Because you guys are doing nothing. So look, here's how we're going to line it up. And we'll play – our defense will also play offense, so we don't need you guys. And it started a kind of a shoving match with some guys, and it caused a problem. But that's kind of the way that happens when one unit is that good and the other unit is letting them down.
Well, see, I disagree with you a little bit. I mean, it can happen,
right,
Mike.
Right.
It can happen, okay? I mean, and that's friendly fire within a football team. You can have that within a business, right? The marketing people are complaining that the talent's not doing their job or vice versa. So it happens in business everywhere. And it's up. The key is the head coach has got to be, he's got to have his he's got to have his thumb on the pulse of that football team. And he's got to be able to address it in front of the whole group. I used to always say this, you know, we're never going to stick our head in the sand about this thing. Mm-hmm. Hey guys, here's where we're at. We're having a tough time right now running the ball. Okay. Mitch is back and whatever it is. You get that Khalil, come on, guys, Eddie Jackson, we got to pick it up on defense. Here's the plan. We're going to do this week, and we're going to try to do this, but we've got to get that ball. We've got to create some turn. You get everybody in it. You know what I mean? So that happens on more teams than not, that one side's playing better than the other, but I think how it's addressed and how it's dealt with is really the determining factor if it affects your football team or not.
Our conversation with Dave Wannstedt is brought to you by Hollywood Casino. Dave, after the game on Sunday, immediately Matt Nagy came into the interview room, and I was there, and he introduced the idea that there was a lot of emotion and frustration in that locker room. And the suggestion and almost the implication was there was a defense reaction, then there was an offensive reaction, and there's the potential for divisiveness. Now, that's us reading into that, but you've been a head coach. You've been on those teams where – that could happen, and we talked about it a little bit earlier, but if you are looking at this from a coaching perspective, what can you do to try to prevent that from happening?
Well, it depends on what it is. Sometimes it's good for some frustration to come out. Sometimes, obviously it can't escalate to the meeting rooms and the practice fields, and now you're not getting any work done, and all of a sudden one loss becomes two losses. It carries over. That's what you – but you know what? After the game, God, I've had guys – slam helmets and punch lockers and storm out of there. I mean, it happens. I mean, those guys want to win, and they got a winning team, and they got a taste of it last year, and they want it back. They're trying to figure out how to get this thing back. So there's going to be frustration. I would not overreact to that, you know, unless I was in the locker room and I was hearing it, and then obviously you get the finer points of it, but I wouldn't take anything of that. There's a long season left, and you know, they just got to have some success. Hey, confidence in the NFL, guys, you can lose it. And I never believed this until I started coaching the NFL. Maybe in middle high football at Will Met Catholic or something, or St. Francis, maybe you can lose your confidence in a hurry with 12-year-old kids. I never thought you could with professionals until I got into the NFL. But it's amazing how professional athletes, a team, can go out and play bad, make mistakes, and all of a sudden, you know, that confidence thing kind of, you know, you start losing a little bit. On the other hand, now the glass is half full this morning. On the other hand, you can go out and put together.
No, Dave, it's looking like it's emptying soon.
Well, quickly. No, I'm serious now. I mean,
to be that way.
You can go out there, okay, and you can win a game and play well, and all of a sudden it's hunky-dory and you got your confidence back. Here's the key. Here is the key. And I had this debate with Trace Armstrong when we were at the Bears, and Trace turned out to be one of my favorite players at the Dolphins. You know, he was a great player for us. And Trace and I, we had lost the game and we had lost confidence here early. And Trace was talking about, we got to get the confidence back on Sunday. I said, we ain't going to get this stuff back on Sunday. We're going to get this confidence back on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Right.
On the practice field. I want to see guys getting off of blocks. And I want to see guys blocking people in the back, hitting the right hole, and so forth and so on. That's where we're going to get our confidence back. And then we take it into the game. You know, we're not going to wait till Sunday. We wait till Sunday, it's too late.
Can't do that anymore. Can't actually practice anymore during the week, right?
Well, I would. I mean, yeah, how else are you going to do it?
Well, talk about it. And again, I think what was hugely disappointing to me about that effort was that that came after the bye week. And, you know, again, I'm not going to say, you know, I know what the rules are. I know the time you got to give the players off. But the coaches were given 4 days in a row. That didn't make sense to me. And I just thought the problems looked pretty severe after that Oakland game. Everybody should be in there breaking down tape, working, grinding, all of that. But they chose to try to go a different route. And again, when it fails, it's easy to criticize it. When you are looking at a team, Dave, that doesn't really play anyone in the preseason, that doesn't really work as hard as you imagine they do to prepare for the season, and then the coach in week 8, because we're 7 weeks in, says, well, we're going to find out who the leaders are, and I can't wait to see who the leaders are. Don't you know who the leaders are? Everybody's saying, well, we don't have an identity. Don't you know who you are as a football team? It's a little late to be worried about that.
Well, hopefully not. Okay. I'm still looking at my glasses. But let me make this point. A great place like Chicago, where the fans, it's no better football town than Chicago. We all know that. I mean, that's why I'm here right now doing what I'm doing. Because I love this city. And let me tell you, sometimes there can be a little bit of a trap. You know, the atmosphere for the first couple home games, right? The Minnesota game, I mean, it was off the charts. Yep. There was no place in America.
There was a buzz.
That the atmosphere was better. Yep. All week and game time in Soldier Field, the whole bit. And sometimes as a player, and that you know, and I used to say, I used to get scared. I mean, when we had really good teams, in Miami, we're getting ready. I says, guys, no, 75,000 people in there. It on the old pro player. I'd say, guys, nobody in those stands is going to make a damn tackle today. Everybody under and no one in the stands is going to make a catch. We've got to do that. Do we understand that? You know, we're playing at home and the crowd's going to be in a frenzy and this is a must game. But you know what I mean? So sometimes you got a young team. They're a young football team. You can come in. You can say, you know, boy, the crowd's going to help us through this. You know what I mean? And
boy, they were booing early, Dave.
You got to do some positive things. Yeah. You know what I mean? But what I'm trying to make the point in a positive way that not a trap, but sometimes you kind of rely on your home field to carry you a little bit, and no one can go out there and make the catch or make the throw for you. We know that, and unfortunately, that's something mentally the young team can kind of fall into a little bit.
Dave, conventional wisdom says that good football teams typically are able to run the ball well, play good defense, and be good on special teams. Now, we've talked about the running game. We know what the Bears' defense is capable of. But when I look at the special teams for the second week in a row, I know that Cordero Patterson had a 102-yard kick return, but that was more him than anything. And for 2 weeks in a row, two losses in a row, the special teams at key moments have let this team down. Why are the Bears not better on special teams this season? Because I think that's something we often overlook, but I think it's an important part of their team.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, it's a third of what they do, and you know, it took the heart out of them. It took the momentum away. Mm. Obviously, you get that punt blocked right off the bat. You know, I mean, that's a big momentum swinger right there. I don't know. They got good tape. It's very good coach. He's experienced. I was up there at practice. They put the time into special teams. You know, I don't know. I mean, they got good players. I really don't have an answer for you on that there. I just know that having coached special teams in the NFL myself and being responsible for them, you know, I know the importance of it. And guys, they can get affected on special teams like they can on offense and defense. I mean, it's a team thing. Those same guys are sitting in the defensive meetings and they're sitting in the offensive meetings. So you got to address the special teams no different. No different in my mind than you do offense and defense, but boy, you can't have that happen. I mean, no question. You get a punt blocked. You know, the statistics prove that a punt blocked is about 80%.
You're gonna lose
the game in the end. Yep.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
Although the punter made a heck of a play to bat that ball out of the end zone to have a safety instead of a touchdown.
Oh God,
no offense to anyone, but it was 36-10 in that game, and it probably could have been 49-10.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, they missed two field goals.
And
plus the punt return for a touchdown on the penalty that Sean Payton was complaining about afterward wasn't a penalty.
Right.
Yeah. So I mean, you think about it, that's a lot of points that they were hit with. And, you know, again, I think that when we talk about running the ball, when we talk about having success, part of it is game situation. And they were totally out of that game. And the only thing they could muster was a special teams touch.
Okay, I'm going to give you my last right here, glass half full. Here okay, not half empty.
Dave, your glass is empty. I'm just saying, we're not on video, but your glass is empty.
Metaphorically,
this is my second large coffee. I'm in a full sweat. You guys are driving me crazy here. I'm going to leave here sweating. Think about this on a Tuesday morning. What am I doing? But what was I? Okay, let me back up. I'm trying to make a positive point here. Listen to me, okay? What I'm saying, at least Matt Nagy can walk up there and he can say, "Hey, I mean, we got things that we got to correct, and we can correct on offense, defense, and special teams. You know, this was a team loss. Yeah. If there's anything that's good,
it's true.
He's not up there saying, boy, defense, you guys got 5 turnovers and you played fantastic.
Right.
We got to pick it up on all, you know.
There's no reason for one unit to turn on the other because everybody's responsible for the spot you're in.
And this game, absolutely it is. You better get the whole team ready to go because, hey, San Diego. I mean, God, you know, Phillip Rivers is his competitor. He's up in age a little bit.
Right.
But the guy can – I saw him make a throw to running back down the sideline Sunday. I don't know if you guys saw it. I mean, it was good a throw as anybody can make, okay? So he's going to come in here. You talk about a team that's on the brink. The Chargers are on the brink, and they fumble going in to lose the game. And who was the guy to fumble, Mike?
Melvin Gordon,
yeah. Who was an All-American, you know, Heisman candidate up here at Wisconsin.
That's right.
So he's kind of coming home, and I promise you, you know, I hate to keep kidding and saying buckle your chin strap, but it's going to come. I mean, these guys are going to come in, and they are going to make an attempt to run the ball. Bears got to be ready for that mentally as well as physically.
I'm fired up now.
Dave, you did fire us up, and your positivity is helpful because – my God, it's early in the season.
Absolutely.
Right?
Remember that Dallas thing. 3-5, division champ, 7 out of 8.
So the Bears can lose.
How about them Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys? I'm trying to save Jason Garrett's job.
Thanks, Dave.
All right, that's outstanding. He's Coach Wadstedt.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.